Oh, come, all ye faithful. Come joyfully and triumphantly. Come to Bethlehem. Let us worship the King. Let us adore him with praise. Oh, gracious and merciful God, it is not difficult to come into this place of beauty, into this thy house, and to give thee thanks for the many wonderful things that have been ours in days past. It is easy enough to look back and see the marvel of thy handiwork in our lives, to see the orderliness of thy creativeness in thy and our universe, and to see the evidences of thy great love, mercy, and forgiveness written in the pages of history. But, O Heavenly Father, our human mortal eyes keep us from seeing ahead and from anticipating all that thou dost have in store for us. Because we are finite, we fail to grasp thine infinite plan for us. Because we live in a world of time, we are incapable of understanding thine eternal design of life for us. As we look about us, it is exceedingly difficult for us to be appreciative of what thou hast in store for us. Even now, as we eagerly await Christmas and the celebration of the birth of thy Holy Son, many of us really expect very little to happen. And for this lack of expectation, O God, we ask thy forgiveness, even as we pray that thou wouldst, in this experience of worship and in the days that are before us, open our eyes to see the dynamic potential of this season, in order that we may be bountifully blessed by the power of Bethlehem and by the spirit of the one born there in the first Christmas season, and that we in turn may bring that blessing to others as we minister. For we ask and invoke this blessing upon us and upon all mankind in the name of the Christ child. Amen. I welcome Mrs. Betty Wynn, Mr. Richard Wynn, and Mr. Bob Goodwin to join me in leading you and leading us all in a worship of Christmas expectations. We begin this worship by singing together Joy to the World.
I will be reading from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they had heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thus endeth the reading of this portion of the scripture.
Let's turn our hearts in prayer to God. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, giver of every good and perfect gift, we take this time to look away from our books, to turn our thoughts away from the challenges of the coming days, to speak to Thee, to listen as Thou speakest to us, and to meditate on Thy word and Thy goodness. Inspire us, God. Fill our hearts anew with the joy of the good news that even today, Christ is born and lives as our Lord and Savior. We confess that there have been times when we have not shared Thy goodness and mercy and love with our fellow man as Thou didst share with us on that first Christmas in Bethlehem. Forgive us for being selfish and unconcerned. Cleanse our hearts as only Thou canst do with Thy redeeming grace. In these days, O God, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, the greatest gift that Thou couldst ever give unto man. Show to us once again the guiding light that will lead us to the manger, as Thou didst lead the shepherds and wise men of old. Let us too make haste to find this child, that we might better know him and love him, and through our own lives to serve as the beacon which will lead others to this, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Warm our hearts, that even today we might provide a more comfortable and a more suitable cradle for Thy only begotten Son, that we might not be guilty of having no room for Him in the ends of our lives. Father, we too wish to present unto the Christ child our treasures and possessions, and the only gifts that we have that are worthy to give our Savior are our very lives, dedicated and committed to serve the one who came to serve man. Accept our gifts and use us. O God, there are those among us who will not find peace and happiness in this season of love and joy. There are those who are hungry, lonely, cold, grieving, and suffering. Speak to these the comforting words of assurance that Thou alone art best able to give. Help us to be so motivated as to do everything within our power to minister unto these, our neighbors. Thou knowest our needs better than we, O Lord, and we trust that Thou will provide all that we need to live. Above all, God, let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is in the name of Christ, the Son of the living God, that we make this prayer. Amen.
Once again, we come to Christmas, to Bethlehem, the celebration of the infinite God's coming to us, to be with us, even in the finite form of the infant child. The thrilling story of this Bethlehem event, as written by Luke, speaks most dramatically and dynamically to me through Philip's version. Philip spoke thus, the words of Luke. Suddenly an angel of the Almighty God stood beside the shepherds, and the splendor of the Lord blazed around them, and they were terror-stricken. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. Listen, I bring you glorious news of exultant joy, which is for all people. this very day in David's town, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Listen. Blazing splendor. Glorious news of exultant joy for all people. In such a context, the question, what do you want for Christmas? Is at one and the same time very superficial and yet deeply profound. The thoughts I want to share with you today had their beginning in an interim pastorate experience I had some 10 years ago now in a church not too far from here, when someone casually asked me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I very superficially answered, "Well, what I really want for Christmas is a Browning 12-gauge automatic shotgun." And I quickly added, "But I really don't expect Santa to bring it down my chimney this Christmas." You've already guessed it, of course. I wouldn't remember such a trivial and superficial conversation if that kind friend who asked the question and that very lovable congregation had not, 7 days later, directed the chairman of their board of deacons to interrupt me just before I started my Christmas sermon to present to me in the pulpit a package that contained a Browning automatic 12-gauge shotgun. And I, without suspecting, very naively asked, "Can I open it now?" And found myself lifting out of the wrappings for all who were there to behold it, the gift. To this day, and I think for the rest of my life, I shall always treasure that congregation as a very wonderful group of friends, and the gun and the experience, most of all the experience, as two of the most appreciated of all Christmas gifts I've ever received, for highly different reasons, as you can well imagine. I started out, you see, thinking I'd wanted too much for Christmas. But these gracious people insisted when I said this that my problem actually was that I had expected too little. And year by year, since that time, I've come to realize how profoundly right they were and are. Have you ever wondered why, traditionally at least, there were only three shepherds? Could it have been that of the many, many shepherds that must have been in the fields of the world that night 2,000 years ago, that only three were keeping watch for anything more than their flock of sheep? And only three wise men. Where were the many others who must have seen that star? Russian legend tells of Babushka, who hadn't seen the star, but who was visited by the three we know came to Bethlehem. As the story is told in the Eastern Church, Babushka was invited to follow the star with the others. But because it was late and the night was cold and filled with storm, Babushka decided to wait until morning to join the search. And according to this legend, searches still, because the star had moved on by the next night. The contrast is timeless, isn't it? The heavens always contain clouds and stars. There have always been innkeepers and shepherds. There are always Herods and wise men. And always, even among the shepherds, there have been those who are asleep and those who are awake. The contrast, the difference, is in expectation. How our expectations can fade and shrink and change and become adulterated. It's always the same story, the Bethlehem story. It's always the same Bethlehem. There's always the radiant, blazing splendor and exultant, joyful news. But, oh, what men do with this Bethlehem? In 1247, in England, church people caught the impact of this great story, the blazing splendor, the glorious exultant news, and built in their community a hospital to care for the sick among them. And they called this hospital St. Mary's of Bethlehem. 2 centuries later, it had become a place in which mentally sick and deranged people were kept, sometimes chained and even imprisoned. And during these 2 centuries, through linguistic contractions and corruptions, and I believe a forgetting of the expectations that brought the hospital into being at its outset, the name of this hospital had changed from the original St. Mary's of Bethlehem to Mary's of Bethlehem to Bethlehem to Bedlam. And a new word was formed in our English language. It happens in our time too. It happens in our celebrations, in our festivity, and in our worship. And it happens for us, for you, and for me. We see the clouds instead of the stars. We become innkeepers instead of shepherds, Herods instead of wise men. We really don't see, perhaps because we don't expect to see, the blazing splendor or hear the glorious exultant news. Edwin Markham, 19th century and early 20th century poet, is not quoted very often anymore. I heard him first when I was a 6th grader. I was a member of our school's declamation team. We don't have declamation contests anymore, I guess. I had another poem to declaim, but in the many practice sessions, I heard one of my friends say or declaim Markham's "How the Great Guest Came." And I heard it so often that to this day I still remember the story vividly and even many of the lines. The poem is about Conrad the cobbler, who dreamed one Christmas that Christ would come to his shop and to his home on Christmas Day. He believed in the dream. And so on that memorable day. He was up very, very early. He cleaned his house from one side to the other and put his shop in careful order. He decorated, he cooked food and set the table, and having done his preparation, he began to watch through the window for the coming of the Christ. And as he watched, an old man hobbled up and asked of Conrad if he might sit on the bench which was outside the cobbler's shop. And of course, he was given permission there to rest for a while. And while he was resting, Conrad saw that his shoes were worn till there was a hole in the sole of them. And so he went out and he took the shoes and he mended them for the old cobbler, all the while watching out the window for the coming of the Christ. All afternoon, Conrad watched. At one point, a very old woman, weary, came by, and Conrad, seeing her, brought her into his home and gave to her of the very food that he had prepared for the coming of the Christ. But never did he stop watching to see if the Christ would come. And then, at dusk, a child, lost and crying, appeared, and Conrad, thoughtfully and carefully and tenderly, took the child into his arms, and discovering that the child lived across town, took the child home. He sat by the window there till late at night with candle lit, still watching, until finally, late that night, he concluded that Christ must have come while he took the child home, or perhaps Christ had not and would not come at all. And as he sat, he recalled in mind how it might have been. The knock at the door, the latch pulled up, the entrance of the Christ, the lighted face, and the joy of celebration. And he heard himself saying, "Why is it, Lord, your feet delay? Have you forgotten that this is the day?" And Markham has the answer in a still small voice, reply, "Lift up your heart, for I keep my word. 3 times I came to your friendly door. 3 times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child on the homeless street." What do you expect for Christmas? What do you want this Christmas? May we, as Bob leads us with music, spend the remaining moments of our worship in meditation, that our expectations may be surrounded by blazing splendor, involved in the exultant, joyful news that was there at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and it is here for us today.
On shepherd's watch are keeping. This is Christ the King from shepherd's guard and angels sing.
In the blazing splendor and in the joyous and exultant good news of Christmas. Amen.